Good morning. You know, we could have a four-post WrestleMania-type match for those that traveled the furthest to be here this morning, because we've got a couple come in from Colorado. Good to see the Slinkards back. We've got Arkansas right here. We've got Oklahoma right there. We've got Florida right there. I mean, we could just wrestle it out. Man, people come a long way to get some ALF. Well, we're glad that you're,
Roy City.
Well, let's just give it to him, Roy City, right? Greenville. And then from, help me out. I want to say south of Austin, but I know you guys said from San Marcos. Man, anybody else want to pitch their hat in the ring? There's not really a prize. Quinlan. Caddo Mills, look at us. Man, David, how far did you come from? Emory. All right. Come on, anyone from Lone Oak? Surely we got Lone Oak in here somewhere. Right? Kind of? Lone Oak-ish? All right, that's cool. Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you guys, and I just want to say thank you for being here today. It's a beautiful day the Lord has made, and we want to thank you for being here. There's a lot of great options between here and Quinlan and Lone Oak and Florida and Oklahoma and Arkansas and Colorado that you could worship, and you've chose to be with us today. We're honored and blessed by it. A couple of things is today, all the teaching notes that you'll see here are available to you in the YouVersion Bible app. And anytime you see that small Bible icon, that means there's extra material there that you can dig a little deeper that, quite honestly, time just won't allow me to go there. And also, I want to ask you to do something for me right now. If you're on Facebook, let's open that Facebook up. Let's check in here at ALF. And today's recommended hashtag is We're Praying for Dallas PD. And what that does is it just lets all of your friends know that getting up and getting out and going to a place of worship was worth it to you. And one day they may be looking for a place to worship and they just might come with you here, which would be awesome. And so also if you're new to us today, now, you know, like our Floridians, we know y'all. And our Arkies, we know y'all. And Cody, we know you. So. Hey, if I treated him any different, he'd think things were weird. You're welcome. But if you're new to us, you'll see a card in the pew in front of you. It looks like this. If you'd fill that out just to the length that you feel comfortable, you can drop that in the offering plate at the end of the service, and it'll come to me. It'll help me get to know you a little bit better. Also, if you have any prayer requests or anything you'd like to communicate to me, you can do that old school right on the back right there. So we appreciate that this morning. We want to begin this morning's service by taking a moment and just quietening our minds, quietening our hearts, and lifting in unity up the recent events that have occurred in Dallas. You know, I'm not here. This is not a place, and this is not a podium by which we go political. That is not the cause and the effect here. Ladies and gentlemen, the answer to the question of our world today and the answer to the question in our nation today is simply this. His name's Jesus. Because what has happened in our nation is we have become so I-centered and we have devalued life to a point where we will take it or we will give it without any concern for the value of it. And my friends, the value of our life is not determined by how much money we make. It's not determined by what part of our nation we live. It's not determined by the color of our skin. The value of our lives is determined by the holy God who created it and His Son Jesus Christ who gave His life to redeem it. And if we all could humble ourselves before the Lord and make the main thing, and begin speaking with our words, leading with our hearts, and taking ourselves off the throne and elevating Him to the throne, many, many, many of our world's challenges today could be resolved. So today we're going to pray and lift up this entire circumstance, and especially, if not specifically, the families who today are going through a dark, dark time because of the events. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we pause this morning as many across our nation, Lord, and around the world, pause. Lord, every life, regardless of nationality, regardless of age, regardless of skin color,
is precious. Because, Lord, it's your creation. You are the creator and the sustainer of life. Father, we are priceless individuals because the cross says so. And the empty tomb validates it. Father, we pray for our nation today. And more specifically, we pray for the city of Dallas. And Father, we pray for the five families this morning who are walking through the darkest hours of human experience. Father, we pray grace and mercy upon them. We pray strength and comfort upon them. Father, I pray that you would guard their hearts, guard the hearts of their children, guard the hearts of their extended family and co-workers. Guard the hearts of the men and women who stand on that thin blue line between chaos and peace. Lord, let their hearts not grow weary in doing good. Father, as it was spoken of in our life group, our challenge is to not allow our hearts to grow hard, to not allow our hearts to grow angry, to not allow our hearts to grow fearful. Father, for you are sovereign. You are powerful. You are omniscient. And Father, you have purpose for this, your church, in this time in human history. Father, help us to know you and to know your purpose in us and through us for this moment. Father, heal our nation, one heart at a time, one situation at a time, one family at a time, one city, county, and state. For your glory and for our good, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. There's going to be a prayer event tonight that I've been invited to be a part of. It's going to be at Bethlehem Baptist. It's on Lee Street, and I think that's Texas Street. The side street, but it's 6:30, and I will be there, and you are welcomed and encouraged to be there along with me and whoever else shows up. So we are continuing our study through the book of Galatians, and we are doing what I've called a side study on the fruit of the Spirit, and today we're going to kind of start digging into the fruit stand. Now, our focus passage is found in Galatians 5, two verses, and you say, Jimmy, can you really teach that long in two verses? Well, sugar, you just don't know me too good. We can go a long time. You're going to be pretty amazed at how far I go on just one word today. You're going to go, wow, he milked Bessie good this morning. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit, whose Spirit? The fruit of God's Spirit that comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by faith through grace is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. We find ourselves at the fruit stand today, and I got to talk a lot about fruit last week, and I just want you to know that the fruit in which I referenced last week is now completely consumed, and it was delicious all the way to the bottom. But let me ask you this, what is your favorite fruit? What is your favorite fruit? You can just kind of shout it out. What's your favorite fruit? Anybody? Over here. How about over here? Pineapple. A pear. Grapes, red or white? Red. What's that? Blackberries. Do you really love kiwi? Okay. Can't. All right. How about over here? Strawberries. A mango. Okay. A nectarine. Peaches, raspberries. How about on this half? Anyone over here? Peaches, cantaloupe, watermelon. Okay. So all the kinds of fruits are good, and the Bible says that the Spirit produces fruit. But the challenge that we face is this, is what produces that fruit? And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about one of the most powerful and misunderstood four-letter words in the whole world. Now, there's a lot of four-letter words, right? Yeah. Kids, there's some that if you say it, a spank-a-lanking is coming your way. Adults, there's some that if you say it, it may not be good. Adults, there are some that we just shouldn't say, but this one's good. And what's funny is when you say the word love, most of the ladies in here go, oh. And most of the guys go, ugh. Ah, because we get all squirmy.
All we have to do is say chick flick, and every one of us goes, ugh. Right? Because you know what a chick flick's about, right? It's going to have love in it, right? Fall in love, break up, fall back in love, chasing a plane, a train, or an automobile. I don't know. But we're going to talk about love today because love is the beginning of all things. Now, we have a misunderstanding of love. We love fruit. I love fruit. We love Whataburger, which apparently the government's being petitioned to declare a fruit. And we love a lot of things, but we have to understand what love is in the proper context before we can apply it properly and we can judge and build on that, right? So the challenge that we face is, what is the proper definition of the word love? Well, there's the world's definition, Whataburger, and then there's God's definition. So now you must begin by, which is the authority in my life, the world or the word? And then once you determine that, then you understand what you choose to be the authoritative word in our lives. So let's go ahead. The way that we view love can change, right? It can, all right? Let me give you some illustration. As a child, as a baby, right, you can do peekaboo. Now, is your little girl like peekaboo yet? Not yet. She hadn't quite got there yet. Does she like this? Blah, 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 blah. You do that, and a little baby goes, oh, that's love. Right? Right? I mean, kid, you know, when you're a little bitty kid, love is a very easy thing, right? It is. But as we get older and we become a teenager, now what is love to a teenager? Money, a cell phone, what is it? So, a teenager, help me out. A computer, huh? A car, or how about this one? How about this one? Can you just leave me alone? Oh, but leave the credit card as you're going. Right? Right? But teenagers understand love differently. And what happens is the world starts pressing in, and if we're not careful as young adults and teenagers, we can begin to start translating love by what the world says. Love in junior high is a note. Anybody ever write those notes? I love you. Do you love me? Check box, yes or no? Yeah? Right, right. And then, and how about this one? You wanted to go together. Like you went anywhere. And then you'd break up and you'd listen to Queen for like 6 days because you never thought you were going to love again. Did I say that out loud? Don't judge me. And then as an adult, we perceive love differently, don't we? Listen, if you walk up to your bride, and especially if she doesn't see you coming, and you go, oh, blah, 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 that is not love. Depending on what kind of house you live in, you might get shot. But the way that we perceive love, and the way that we receive love, and the way that we communicate love can change as we mature in our physical being. Now once we reach adulthood, now even that can change. It really falls into two categories: the way an unbeliever expresses love and the way a believer expresses love. And those are affected by who sits on the throne of our heart. Now, as an unbeliever, we can perceive love in a lot of ways, right? Valentine's Day. What a sucker punch that is, right? Because you know what happens is, even if you do a really good job loving your mate all the way through, societal pressure builds on you. My bride and I, our anniversary is on February 20th, and then Valentine's Day, right? And so we've got this kind of double whammy. And on more than one occasion during our time together, we've agreed that at Valentine's Day, we're not going to exchange gifts. We're going to save it all and put it on the day we chose, the 20th. But you know what happens? What happens, love? Oh, I give in. Because I'm so afraid of not doing something, although we've agreed to it. And then I end up getting in trouble because she holds the agreement and I break the covenant. And she goes, you said we weren't going to give each other anything. But then as a believer, the way that we understand love begins by what the Scripture says, and it comes down
through a crib in Bethlehem, and then it comes down through a cross on Calvary, and then it comes down through an empty tomb, and then it begins to translate from there. You see, it's different. The way we express love, the way we understand it, very different. Whom we love will have a direct impact on how we love, right? Who do you love? Yeah, I'm singing that on Channel 3 right now. If you don't know it, you should look it up, and if you're judging me, stop it. So let's look at that. John, 1 John says this, we have come to know and have believed that believe the love which God has for us. God is love. Let's say that together, shall we? God is love. That's kind of good. Let's do it one more time. Okay, so again, now we have to decide, right? There's the world's love and there's God's love. And the Bible says that God is love. So if we hope to receive love and we hope to communicate love, then there's one place by which we can do it accurately, effectively, and longevatively. Was that right? Whoa! I'm proud of myself. And that's through what? And one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. If we are going to understand love, to live in love, to walk in love, to serve in love, we must abide in who? God. And so we have a very clear delineation, right, of whom we love will affect how we love. How we handle love can be an indicator of whom our devotion is committed to. Now, The way that we handle love can be a clear indicator of who is on the throne of our, can I say love throne? I'll say that. It's a little weird, but I'll say it. But on the throne of love in our hearts, right? If you're in a relationship, whether it's a marriage or whether you're dating or parents to kids, if we live solely for ourselves, if everything revolves around me, and I'll use my bride and I, if everything comes back to me, then there's a clear indication of what's going on in my life, right? Because when we married, the covenant was, is I was going to love her 100%. And this is what I'm going to say. Listen, if you're married or you want to be married and one day you might be married, whatever, anywhere inside that, I'm going to tell you what was told to me, and I'm going to tell you what is absolute truth. Is when you love that spouse 100%, when it is your focus to give that spouse everything you can, you don't have to worry about getting what you need. Because you know what? It just comes back natural. As long as their heart is focused. You know what? You know what you call a relationship where you give everything and nothing comes back? Exitable. Right? If you're dating someone and you're just giving and you're not getting, get! Yeah, I said that. Anyway, the forms of love have their place. Now, God created love. He didn't create Hallmark, but he created love. Okay? And we see three expressions in the Bible of love, and we want to unpack those real quick. First of all, we see a relationship, a love person to person, and that's what we're going to talk about today. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk about love person to God, but today it's person to person, okay? The first one is a phileo love. Now, has anyone ever heard of Philadelphia, the city of brotherly shove? Well, Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love, and it comes from this Greek word. And so phileo is that brotherly love. Now, it's not defined exclusively that you're related. Now, do you have people in your life that you're not blood related to, but they're like a brother or sister to you? I mean, they just mean the world to you? Yeah, well, you can have those kind of things. And so this is that type of love. Now, it motivates us, it encourages us, and you know what? Even those relationships can ebb and flow. You know, I had a best friend in high school, and time and distance just kind of took us apart, and we're still friends, and on the rare occasion that we see each other, when we meet, it's like we've never been apart, but it's different because he lives in Utah and I live here. But what we see here is love is the hinge by which life operates, okay? So we see phileo. The second is agape. Now, agape love is produced by and given by God. Now, the difference between agape and phileo is brotherly, okay? Agape is powerful, and here's the real kicker. Agape love is sacrificial. It's unconditional. That's right. It's unconditional. You love. Now you say, well, now, Jimmy, no, wait a minute. What if I don't want to love someone? Well, I mean, okay. But the challenge is if God is the God of our lives and His goal for us is to be transformed in His image, what does God say? Well, let's look real quick. John 3:16 says this, for God so loved, the same word, for God so agaped, who? Now, He's not talking about the trees, the rocks, the birds, and stuff. God does love His creation, right? But my friends, you and I and everyone out there are the crown of God's creation. Jesus died to redeem you and me and everyone out there. He died to redeem every human being, to give them the opportunity. For God so sacrificed, He so phileo the world. What? Now, you know, some of us have, you know, wrestle sometimes with a small sacrifice level. Have you ever had that? You know, listen, not having butter at lunch is not a sacrifice. Oh, I'm sorry, Jimmy, Mr. Vaughn, I forgot to bring the butter by for your biscuit at lunch. Well, I have sacrificed too much. Love sacrifices. And sometimes it's a little sacrifice, and sometimes it's a lot of sacrifice, right? Well, God, you phileo the world, me, what does that look like, God? That He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He didn't give His only begotten Son a cheap t-shirt. He didn't give His only begotten Son a timeout in the corner. He gave His Son to a cross on Calvary to die after becoming all sin. Let's say all together. All sin. Jesus became that sniper in Dallas's sin on the cross. You say, well, now wait a minute, we're not going to mix. Yes, we are. If Jesus didn't die for it all, He didn't die for any of it, and that's yours and that's mine too. God so phileo, what? He sent His own Son to die for you. Now here's the really interesting part, is God gives you the choice to say, no, thank you. You ever been to someone's house and they brought a meal to the table and you're like, and maybe your mom, your dad, whatever. Listen, I've been overseas, and when you go overseas and these people provide a meal to you out of their want, you know what? You pray the missionary prayer, Lord, I'll get it down and you keep it down. Right? I'm telling you, and it gets passionate. I have had things set in front of me and every fiber of my being goes. And you know what I do? Because of the grace and the sacrifice by which that was given to me, I'm going to eat it and I'm going to trust God to keep it down. And it's not as easy as it sounds. Or I'm going to find someone to share it with. But I'm telling you, listen. Phileo cost something. And when the church says it loves the world, but it costs us nothing, we're liars. When you say you love your children, when you say you love your spouse, when you say I love phileo, whatever, and it costs you nothing, something is inaccurate. Romans 5:8 says this, but God demonstrated His own phileo toward us and while we were yet sinners. You see, I didn't have to clean up before Jesus went to the cross. Jesus went to the cross and says, now, Jimmy, now what are you going to do with it? You can walk with it or you can walk away from it, but I did it. Because phileo is always proactive. If we have to be begged to phileo, we've got a problem. Because while you were sinners and while I was a sinner and while that world out there is still sinners, Jesus died because God phileo, proactive. Listen, if you want to be a lover after God's own heart, you be proactive and you just let things fall where they may. You don't do it in case I'm going to get reciprocated.
I don't give my bride a gift with the intention, man, if she doesn't double that back, I'm taking it back. Because you know what? If that's the case, it's not a gift. It's an exchange. God is a giver, a sacrifice, and he calls us to do it. And then we see first it's a gift, and I'm so good, I got ahead of myself. Let's see what Romans says. And hope does not disappoint. What hope? God's hope. Because love, phileo, of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has given it to us. It's a gift. What do you do to earn phileo? I'm sorry, agape. Nothing. Now, let's just think about that. God sent his son to die for you. And what could you do to earn it or to pay it back? Not a thing. I struggle with that sometimes. And then not only is it a gift, it's also cultivated. Can I just say this? Agape doesn't happen by accident. It is not human nature to agape. Now, we see windows of it. Every time I've ever been to a hospital and I've seen a mom with her newborn baby, that's agape. And I've told you guys, I'm not man enough to be a woman. You know why? I'm not having a kid, not one. This is why. Because after 9 months of all that entails, that child would be birthed and that child would owe me till they're about 37. After all the stretching, pulling, and But I'm going to tell you what, every time I see that new mom and the joy and the love, agape. And then what's amazing to me is, and I've seen, I mean, my bride went, you almost went 2 days with Trey. And then you sign up to do it again. What are you thinking? No. Because agape keeps a short list. But it has to be cultivated. Let's look what Philippians tells us. And this I pray. What do you pray? That love, agape, may abound still what? More and more. You can never be a more and more lover if you're never a more lover. Right? You can't be more and more of anything if you're never first. You can't be more and more of a triathlete if you never, right? Paul says, I pray that you will cultivate this. Listen, Christ-likeness does not happen by accident. You don't just download it from the Apple store. It's a cultivation. It's a moving forward. I love, and then all that entails, and it calls me to love more, and all that entails, and it calls me to love more. And then one day you look behind you and go, my goodness, look how far I've come from. Listen, I don't know if you know this, but there was a time in my life when I was so eye-centric, it was terrible. The whole world revolved around me. I even had my own religion, Jimmyism. See how creative I was? It was a very simple theology. If it was good for me, it's good. Right? But you know what happens is when you start following the Lord and you start cultivating that love, you start finding that the things that God loves that you love and the things that God doesn't love, you start to not love. You see, part of the challenge we have in our world today, church, is we have to be cultivating love in our individual hearts and in our relationships here before we can ever cultivate a love for them. They don't really care about anything until they know how much you care. Because your Bible, your authoritative word, your roadmap to life to them is just another book on a shelf. It's just another book nook download. But you see, what will witness to them is the transformation in your life makes that word authoritative. And then we go on, and then there's a third. And this one's very uniquely spouse to spouse. Now, interestingly enough, is that all three of these are expressions of love, and all three of these are created by God, but this third one is not spoken of, and this third version is not used in the New Testament, but you'll find it in the Old Testament. And it's eros. And this is a sensualness. This is what is expressed inside the marriage covenant. And if you would like to see how this is used, go read the Song of Solomon. It's a very sensual writing. And you know, I remember the first time they wanted to teach it at youth camp. Those kids can't take nothing serious. Anyway, but it's there. God created it, and it's like everything else. As long as things are handled inside the design of God, it's good. And when it starts getting outside of that design, the wheels start shooting off and problems start coming, because the eros is the root word to where we get the word erotic. And so it can go off the rails. Whom you love will change your tune, right? Now, how many of you have ever been in love? Austin, you better put your hand up, Austin. Okay. Now, how many of you have been heartbroken in love? Let me ask you, do you sing the same song on both sides? Oh, you know when you're in love. I'm walking on sunshine. Whoa, right? And then when you're on the other side of it, it's Queen for 6 days. You change your tune. Well, you know what? The way we handle love and who is sitting on the throne of love in our lives changes and affects the tune of our lives. Let's look. In 1 Corinthians, it says this: if I speak with tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, I have become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Have you ever had a kid go in and get your pots and pans and decide that they were going to be Phil Collins? Now, you know what's funny? It's cute for about this long, isn't it? Because, you know, they're just banging. And you're like, that's just so cute. And then about 60 seconds later, you're like, that's enough. And then 1 in 100 goes this: well, you know, Christmas is coming. And you buy that drum set. And then the night after Christmas, you're like, what was I thinking? But you see, when God is not seated on the throne of love, what it says is that in time, we become like Charlie Brown's teacher to the world. You ever watch Charlie Brown? And when the teacher's talking, everyone in Charlie Brownville talks right, but the teacher, when the teacher, my friends, when God is not seated squarely on the throne of love in our lives, our expression to the world, and sometimes our expression one to another, just becomes however, on the other side, look what the psalmist says. Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned me from my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. When God is seated on the throne of love, my friends, words of love just come. And it's not the sappy, poetry. It just flows out of you. And he says that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. Oh, Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Let me ask you, what's our life song sound like? Is it murmur, murmur, murmur? Or is it just this song? And you know what? It can be the shower song. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to work with my campus care team, and I was teasing Travis because I put my earbuds in and I listened to Pandora, and I said, this is my world tour. This is the Jimmy Vaughn world tour. I'm just going around campus. And now the problem is when I'm running something like a weed eater or something, it's loud, right? So you know what I can do? I can sing. I'm walking on sunshine, whoa. But then I forget when I'm not pushing something, because now everyone can hear me. Have you ever listened to someone sing with earbuds in? I'm not saying it's good if the earbuds weren't in, but I'm saying with earbuds in, no bueno. But what does our life song sound like to the world? What's it sound like to our family of faith? What does it sound like? It can be directly affected. And who we love is a choice that sometimes is difficult. Now, let me ask you, how many people here love your mama? All right. Austin, you better get that hand up, son. See, he goes off to college and he gets all cocky. How many of you love your daddy? Okay. Okay, how many of you love your kids? Miss Sylvia, that hand didn't even get up off your hip. How many of you love your spouse? That's all I get. Man, I was really expecting to see this. She keeps me humble.
Now, see, the challenge is this. Is there's a lot of really good things in life to love. There really is. I'm going to go so far as to say that there's more things in life to love than we should hate. Right? The challenge that we face is keeping the occupant on the throne of love in our lives right. God tells us this, you shall have no other gods before me. Whoever or whatever sits on the throne of love in your life is your God. Now, they can be good things. Listen, I love my kids. And you know, I'm just like all of you guys. I'd lay my life down for my kids. I absolutely would. You say, oh, Jimmy, everyone says that. Listen, if you're a parent here today, and you know that if it got down to the getting down, and it was you or your kiddo, you know you'd choose your kiddo. I've lived my life. I've made my mistakes. I've had my joys. I've seen my sunrises. But my kids. But you know what? My kids can't be the occupant of the throne of love in my life. My bride. There's no one above my bride. Except. Because this is the truth. You see, I can't love her the way he wants me to unless he is the occupant of that throne. Now, I just want you to know, in this earthly realm, there is nothing that my bride is second to. Not a thing, not a person, nothing. It's me and her forever, baby. We're going to fly and we're going to die. And this is what I know is the only way that I can love her and I can see this to the end, wherever God would have it to be, is as long as I keep God on the throne of the heart. You see, church, the challenge that we face is we've got to keep proper occupancy in that. Because in days like this, there's a thousand things screaming to take the throne of love in our lives. You know, we look at our world today, and we see a clear division right now. And you know what? Both sides, if they'll just put God in that throne, we can find a solution. We really can. But as long as I'm on that throne or they're on that throne or whoever's on that throne, we'll never find. We'll never find. Because when we both see us as who we are in light of who he is, then we both realize we have a reason to be subjective to him. So our take-home for this week is this. Let's ask ourselves one single question. Who do I love most? That's an easy question, but it's a hard question. And we ask the Lord, Lord, give me courage and clarity to see myself as you see me. You see, I don't want to see me as I see me because I know how I see me. And I don't want to see me as I think you see me. I need to see me as he sees me because why? He is God of my life. He is the occupant of the throne of love in my life. God's desire for me is not that you would like me more. And God's God's primary desire is not that you would like me more. God's primary desire is not that I would like me more. God's primary desire for me is that I'm being transformed into the image of his Son. And that can only happen when he's in the throne of my heart. And I need to see me as God sees me. And then I need to have the courage to respond to that. Because you know who benefits when God sits on the throne of my heart? All of us, including me. When God is on the throne of my heart, my life's better. Doesn't mean it's always easy, but it's better. It gives me the courage to do things. It gives me the compassion to do. It's just better. So that's my call to you this week. Ask the Lord to give you clarity and courage. Lord, who do I love most? And then respond to that. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we give you thanks today for love. Oh, Lord, it's hard. So many things scream into our lives, love me, love me, love me. so many things scream into my life. If you loved me, you would. Lord, and there's so many good things to love. But Father, I pray, beginning with myself, that you would give me clarity and courage to ask the question, Lord, every day, Lord, who do I love most? Lord, because I know the best for me and the best for all around me is when you are seated upon that throne. Father, I pray for us today. Lord, I pray for us in days like these. Lord, let our hearts not grow hard. Let our minds not grow faint and worrisome. Father, sit on the throne of our hearts and keep us pliable. Keep us compassionate. Keep us humble. Lord, let us see our world as you see it. And let us be your church in this world. Lord, you have a plan or we wouldn't be here. Lord, you have a purpose or we wouldn't be here. Lord, you do not waste your possessions. So, Father, let us love you. Let us love our world.